Blog Talk Radio.
Commissioner Goodell.
With the first pick in the 2017 NFL Draft, the Cleveland Browns select Myles Garrett, defensive end, Texas A&M.
And with that being said, people, we are back and we are live right here on Fox Sports Radio 96.9 FM. It is yours truly, Mike Knox, and it is a pleasure. To God be the glory. We are here today live from Orlando, Florida. Welcome to the Soul in Sports with Mike Knox and the crew. But as always, people, first, the particulars, 347-637-3859. This is the hour of power in sports today. And if you don't know, you're about to find out. I wear my heart on my sleeve, and I wear it this way. The NFL draft. Round one is in the books. Round two will take place this evening. Myles Garrett, number one. My hometown Chicago Bears move up one slot, speaking of slots, in the draft to take quarterback out of North Carolina, Mitch Trubisky, and my Philadelphia Eagles, with all the offense gone before them. Once I saw Corey Davis, once I saw Mike Williams go, it was defense, 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 and the Eagles picked up Derek Barnett from Tennessee, the SEC leader in sacks, and even broke the great Reggie White's record and sacks at the school. Also, as I wear my heart on my sleeve, I've been away. I missed Monday Night Raw. I missed the return of the Attitude Era as the dumpster match took place. I missed SmackDown, which is going to be obsolete this week because we got WWE Payback coming up this Sunday. What do you think about it? Want to hear from you? Comment on the chat below and let us know. Also, there are three, count them, one, two, three, game sixes tonight as the Bulls try to avoid elimination from Boston, as the Wizards try to end the Hawks, and as the Clippers, please, somebody, they are still a team in L.A. that's not good. And guess what? It's both of them. It's the Clippers and it's the L.A. Lakers. Hell, the Lakers, who didn't even make the playoffs to me right now, is playing better basketball than the Los Angeles Clippers. Listen, guys, we got a lot to discuss today. Can Klitschko win his fight against Joshua to set up the mega unification fight between friend of the program Deontay Wilder, office, and then some. But as always, I'm not joined by myself. I have my crew. Because without your crew, who are you? Welcome back to the program, my brother from another mother. What's going on, Papa Lee, a.k.a. Emmy Richard on the Twitter?
Oh, man. I wish my name was Stan so I could have the master plan, and I think you better recognize, but I don't. It's me. It's Emmy Richmond on the Twitter. And, man, draft night, that second pick. I mean, I know we're going to get into it, but I just want to let you know I'm laughing a lot, not on the inside, but on the outside. And I'm sitting here thinking to myself, hold on. The Cleveland Browns don't go full factory of sadness, but then the Bears go?
What? The Bears. The Bears.
It's just, man. But it's good to hear from you. It's good to be back on. It's good to have the best Mike and Mike tandem in radio. Sorry, there's a reason why certain people in the company is getting laid off a whole lot. It's because y'all two cost too much money, and you're not even worth that much money. Just saying, that's all I'm going to say about that. Go ahead and roll, brother.
Well, with that being said, we got my brother down south from me. I told him, when is he coming up, or when is he coming down? He said, when am I coming up? Welcome back to the program, No Foul Zone. Hugo, what's going on, brother?
Is it me, or do the Cleveland Browns really want to be called the Cleveland Clowns? That's all I got to say about yesterday's draft. I was in shock yesterday, by some of these picks that also some of these teams have had. But Mike, welcome to the Sunshine State. I don't even know. I'm only about 200 miles away from you. Before I was like about 1,000 miles away from you. So pretty soon, I'll be making my way up, hopefully, to the city of Orlando, which, let's be honest, it is a treat, isn't it, Mike? Living in the sunshine.
It is beautiful.
12 months out of the year. It is amazing.
It's 95 goddarn degrees, brother. Listen, when I was a kid, my grandmother told me to stay in the house when it was hot outside, and now I know why. So welcome to the program. Welcome back, guys. It's been about 2 weeks since we've been here, but Fox Sports Radio 96.9 FM back in Hopewell, Virginia, is our host program. Will keep us, lean us, and continue to grow with us here, and we're going to continue to grow them and make them better because we are the flagship show here on Fox Sports Radio 96.9, now on the FM dial. But guys, let's just go ahead where we started off at and get back into it. The NFL draft took place yesterday, and Hugo, I'm assuming that your thought about the factory of sadness, as Michael Lee has named him, Emmy Richmond on Twitter, is the Cleveland Browns by taking Myles Garrett. Because here's my thought process. If you need 12 players, which Cleveland seems to need 24 players or 53 players, right? Well, let's take Joe Hayden off that list, right? But they need some players. Why not get the best player in the draft? In my opinion, he falls from LSU, the safety, Jamal Adams, to your J-E-T-S, Jets. Hugo, speak about Cleveland botching the number one pick, because I don't think Myles Garrett will be the impact player that Jamal Adams will be in New York. What are your thoughts?
Let's be honest. That's what I'm saying. The Cleveland Browns really want to be called the Cleveland Clowns. I definitely would have taken Adams in the first round pick. Definitely a huge improvement for the New York Jets, especially after what happened with Darrelle Revis. Obviously, his career also coming down to an end.
That island has sunk.
Right. I mean that ship has sailed. I mean the actual cruise ship of has actually sailed Revis Island. So I'm very excited. To be honest with you, the thing is that the New York Jets also are so woeful, Mike, that fine, we know what we actually do need. I'm not going to lie to you. We also need a lot of threats in the front line and the offensive line. For example, I know that we need a tight end, we need a quarterback. But I was surprised, and you know, the New York Jets, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, in the last, I think I want to tell you 8 years, Mike, we selected defense. So it didn't surprise me that we ended up going defense again. And I'm very excited for this pick, man. We'll see. That's the good thing about the New York Jets. And I mean, obviously, it's been known with Darrelle Revis. We saw what he did. We saw what he actually did become. Because, listen, although that ship has sailed, that island is deserted, like you say, Mike. The good thing is that the Jets do know how to mold what could be a very good, if of the best, safeties in the National Football League. So I'm trying to see what's going to be happening with Adams. And you know what actually got to me? Have you got to, do you guys follow Odell Beckham Jr., by the way? I don't know if you guys
I follow the Beckham.
Yeah. He said earlier this morning or late last night, he chose the correct city but the wrong color. So definitely a lot of people are talking about this pick, and I'm very excited for my New York Jets. Hopefully we can storm that defense. The Jets have been known as a defensive team, as we know when Rex Ryan was there. I know that we've fallen apart in the last couple of years, like the last 3 or 4 years, but we're in rebuilding mode, Mike, and I'm very excited to see what Adams is going to do for the New York Jets. But the Clowns just want to be the call of Clowns, though. I mean, I don't know what the hell Cleveland was thinking.
I don't get that pick either myself. At number one, but Micah, you're more upset, and me as well. And before I let you get in there, Micah, and discuss the disgusting trade up of one draft pick, one slot, give up not just their third pick that round, but also four other picks to move up to get Mitch Trubisky, the quarterback from North Carolina, who, let's be honest, I don't think he was the best quarterback in the draft. Houston moved up, in my opinion, took the best quarterback in the draft, which Micah has been highly on putting out information and letting people know why Deshaun Watson was so good. But Micah, before you give me your thoughts, Corey from what is the name of the show? The Sports Authority and other stuff right here on the BDSIR Radio Network. You can catch them every single Tuesday. Just download them on iTunes, wherever podcasts are sold, which guess what, guys? They're free. He said, hey, how about 3 years from now, we all look back and say the Chicago Bears made a good pick in this draft? I don't think so. Micah, your thoughts on Mitch Trubisky from North Carolina being the number one quarterback taking off the board at number two?
Let me tell you something about this guy named Mitch. Okay. Mitch, I'm sorry. There's a guy who I respect as a head coach.
Mm-hmm.
Parcells. And Bill Parcells has a set of rules for a quarterback.
Set of rules.
We already know that anything that has a set of rules, there's some outliers. And everybody's very consistent with certain rules. Deshaun Watson, a lot of people who wanted to be defenders of Deshaun Watson, they decided to give him the Tim Tebow type of defense. Well, he's a winner. I'm sorry. Tim Tebow may have been a winner, but as a quarterback, Deshaun Watson is miles ahead of that guy. Yeah, he got some national championships, got a Heisman and stuff like that. Very great, impactful college football player. But as a quarterback, he's not. Well, if we take some time, and I know I'm taking my time because I know I get very excited and I talk fast, and I just want to talk slow for all the slow people out there. Let me tell you something about Deshaun Watson. They want to talk about how he had a lot of interceptions. He had 30 interceptions over the course of 2 years. Yeah.
Right.
That's over the course of 2 years, dummy. You want to know how many touchdowns he's had over the same course of 2 years?
76. Okay.
He's had 76 touchdowns. That's the 2 years. Now, if we go to the first year he started, which he didn't start all the games, he started eight, from what I was saying, he started eight from the stats of the half. He had a 14 touchdown to 2 interception ratio. So, hold on. Let me see. 3 years of playing college football in the ACC, which has a lot of competitive teams, and they play a pretty good non-conference schedule. That's 90 touchdowns to 32 interceptions. Now, I know we told there would be no math, but over the course of his career, that's pretty much a 3-to-1 touchdown-interception ratio. So any pundit that's highly paid has just been crapped on by a guy who is not as highly paid as you. How can me pull up the same stuff, the same stats, and the same numbers that you see and see that in 3 years, he's three times a quarterback as Patrick Mahomes and as Mitch Trubisky, and you're sitting here telling me he's not the number one quarterback in this draft? Oh, he's got problems. Every quarterback has problems. Andrew Luck has problems.
He plays in nothing but a no-huddle offense. So he doesn't know how to play the quarterback game.
Sure, that nonsense. See, here's the thing that trips me out. Boy, he plays in a no huddle. I'm sorry. Last time I checked, the job of the head coach and the offensive coordinator is not
to fix
force.
That.
the quarterback to learn their system. Good offensive coordinators like your former head coach Andy Reid tailor-make their offense with the same concept and the same schemes, but they tailor-make it to the skill set of their quarterback. That's why he was able to get the best out of Michael Vick when Michael Vick came back for his second stint. That's why y'all went to 5 NFC Championship games in the Super Bowl when y'all had Donovan McNabb as quarterback. That's why y'all always – that's why anytime he's the head coach and he has a quarterback that has the ability to be a dual threat, that quarterback can be successful. He's making Alex Smith look like he's a franchise guy because of the way he tailor makes the offense around him. And all these idiots don't realize that Sean Watson is going to destroy these competitions. When Patrick Mahomes comes, see, outside of Deshaun Watson, Patrick Mahomes has the next best situation. He got taken up higher than Deshaun Watson. I think that's a slap in the face to Deshaun Watson as far as what he has done in college because you're taking a guy, oh, he has a gunslinger arm. Yeah. So, if he was to start because Alex Smith got hurt, Patrick Mahomes has something that I think that Deshaun Watson has and that Mr. Trubisky don't have either. The other two quarterbacks that were taking ahead of Deshaun Watson do not have a clutch gene. Because when the biggest games came, at the biggest moment, they lost.
Right.
So, and when Deshaun Watson, when the lights were brightest, he played his best.
He signed.
Doesn't mean
against
that
the best team,
and
against the best team in college
year.
Football, too. Against the best
exactly.
team in college football over the last, what, 5-6 years? Let's be honest, brother. He won 3 national titles in 6 years, so.
Yep. He's competed against and has beaten the best teams college football has to offer. And the other two quarterbacks can barely get past their conference. How in the world, when you are a quarterback of a conference that plays no defense, you got your 5,000 yards. He got 5,000 yards passing in a conference that plays no defense. But since they play no defense, you couldn't beat Oklahoma. You couldn't beat your rival Texas. You couldn't beat anybody else other than some IA teams. And when you had a chance to play a decent non-conference schedule, you kind of struggle against other teams on your non-conference. I'm sorry. I don't believe in you. That's why you shouldn't have gotten drafted in the first round. If you were going to be a project quarterback anyway, you should have been in the next round. But these quarterbacks must have been really sought after. I'm just making the case that I don't care what your thought process was. You shouldn't have traded all that for just Mitch Trubisky. You could have just waited at number 3 if you wanted him.
I agree.
The San Francisco 49ers were not going to take Mitchell Trubisky. They had what they needed. And plus, they may be going for Kirk Cousins anyway. So, I apologize. Yeah. I don't mean to take our time like that, but it just irks me. It irks me the level of nonsense that they're spewing about Deshaun Watson has problems. He is going to wreck shop if he starts in the AFC South. Because the AFC South ain't got nobody for him to really fight against. He has Marcus Mariota to deal with. And a decent team that's gonna get better this year, especially defensively with Tennessee Titans. Hopefully, my Colts will actually have a defense and have some kind of O line to actually compete because we got probably the best quarterback in the conference. But Deshaun Watson is coming to a situation similar to Russell Wilson. He's coming to a situation like Rain Prescott. He's coming to a situation where he is protected, and that's all he needs to do is not make mistakes. And if you have a collegiate record, 3-1 touchdown interception ratio, then that's all you need to have success. They're going to be in the playoffs again, and it's because of him. And Tom Savage ain't going to be able to beat him out, in the offseason. I'm telling you now, I guarantee it. Deshaun Watson is going to start week one because the Buccaneers are beat.
I agree with you on that one, but what about people like, let's take it out right here, King Vaughn Jr. 720 on the Twitter, our Instagram social media guy for us here says, the Bills played a no-huddle offense and never won a Super Bowl. He thinks that no-huddle offense is overrated. I don't think necessarily, Vaughn, that had anything to do with the offense that the Buffalo Bills ran because they did go to 5 straight Super Bowls, so it can't be completely overrated in my opinion. Just like Oregon Ducks, just to mention your team there for a second, Hugo, it wasn't that offense didn't work. It just when it went against a better defensive team like Alabama, it had problems. So when that no-huddle offense goes against bigger, stronger teams, especially back in the 90s, that made a difference. But I do think that a no-huddle offense today, let's think about it right here for 1 second. New England ran a no-huddle offense for years under Tom Brady, as well as Peyton Manning, as well as Marcus Mariota is running it now. Okay, there's a lot of teams, including, I'm sorry, some would say the baddest man on the planet, and Aaron Rodgers runs a no-huddle offense in Green Bay. So the muddle huddle, the no-huddle offense, I don't think it's overrated in my opinion, Vaughn. But I do see kind of where he's coming from because there are teams that can't do it. But I don't think that has anything to do with the teams per se themselves. 347-637-3859. I'm going to tell you what bothered me about this draft. The first round anyway, and I'm going to say bother me. Again, I'm going to really rip Cleveland on taking Myles Garrett when you had Jamal Adams sitting there. But as a fan, nothing more here but being a fan. I am a diehard Eagles fan. I am a Chicago Bears fan because that's my home team, and I grew up in that city. I was taken back. My heart as an Eagle fan was broken when Corey Davis and Mike Williams was taken off the board because every draft – almost every mock draft had the Eagles getting Mike Williams. And I kept saying to myself, why are they getting me happy like this? Corey Davis and Mike Williams is not going to go out of not get picked before 14 in this draft. And clearly that was the case. As Philadelphia lost a draft pick, they would have had the 12th and the 14th pick. The Texans moved up and took that pick from the Eagles at number 12 from last year and took Deshaun Watson. But not having Corey Davis, not having Mike Williams, I know some Eagle fans, including, Wally, who's not here, thinks that Christian McCaffrey will be a good NFL quarterback. And to all my Caucasian fans out there, don't take this the wrong way when I say this. I do not believe in white running backs. I'm sorry. I just don't. Tell me when the last time we had a white running back in the NFL that was successful. I'm not saying white guys cannot play the position. It's just been a very, 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 very long time since Mike Allstott.
Even before Michael Allstott. I mean, as far as running backs.
I'm saying since him, there hasn't been one. Name me a white running back since Mike Allstott. And he was pretty much just a glorified fullback turned into a running back because they had nobody else to play that position. But overall,
Riggins from Redskins? Is it Riggins or Liggins? Riggins?
Well, he's mixed with Riggins. So, I mean, you know, to be honest. Again, that answers my question. But I will tell you this much right here, right now, as I am a Madden football fan, I will say this again. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers look amazing on paper. Famous Jameis Winston has no excuses right now at being good. They picked up DeSean Jackson in the offseason. They got Mike Williams still. Vincent Jackson on the downside of his career. But now you pick up O.J. Howard, the tight end from Alabama, 6'6". I mean, this guy is a stud right now. But the Eagles pick that they did take at number 14 is Derek Barnett. I was scratching my head with that pick because I'm sitting there saying, okay, I know we need a pass rusher. I'm not knocking the fact of getting a pass rusher. But why not get Reuben Foster? Why not get Reuben Foster? I didn't understand that. It broke my heart that he was not taken.
He was diluted sample, Mike. It was diluted. Which means he's not going to be successful because, you know, the great Bill Polian, and I'm saying this as a Colts fan, the great Bill Polian doesn't trust people who make smoke.
Well, you know what? Take it how you want to. But again, as far as that is concerned, I see that. But you could have took Tack from UCLA. And again, as I'm looking over this board right now and I'm looking at the three picks that Cleveland took, why does Cleveland not take, if you're going to take a tight end, did they not take, they did not get move up in the draft from where they picked. They had three picks in the first round. And I swear to you, Jaleel Peppers and Myles Garrett will not be the answer to the fact of sadness in Cleveland. Hugo, what's your biggest surprise or biggest like in the first round of the NFL draft yesterday?
Real quick, because they're the Cleveland Clowns, Mike. I mean, really, what do you expect from a franchise that is failing and the Cleveland Clowns, man? I mean, seriously, does anything that they do, does it actually surprise you how asinine it might have been? Absolutely not. But really quick, there is one that I truly did like. You talked about Tampa Bay, right? With famous Jameis. Mm-hmm. You know, they definitely should be a threat in the NFC South. They're a fantastic team, up and coming. Also on the other side, when we had the two best quarterbacks in 2 years drafts ago, which were both Marcus Mariota and Jameis Winston, I really enjoyed Tennessee's pick as well. I knew you were going there.
I'm not going to lie. I started to cut you off. I knew you were going there because you love, just like I do, some Marcus Mariota. Speak on that Mariota, Tennessee pick.
Absolutely.
And I'm very excited to see what Marcus Mariota is going to do getting weapons around him. He's a fantastic quarterback, and I think he's going to be proven just like famous Jameis. We're going to probably see those two competing in the future, hopefully for some titles or individual honors. And I'm so excited to see that quarterback class in both famous Jameis and Marcus Mariota because, hey, you can take the pick of your litter. Some people will obviously prefer Marcus Mariota. Some people are going to prefer Jameis Winston, and you can't argue with who you actually do choose with based on what they actually did in college and now what they have actually done in the pros. And it's unfortunate with the injury that Marcus Mariota had in the last three, I think it was the last three or four games of the season last year, Mike. And he went, I think, 25 touchdowns with only 7 interceptions. And for him now to pick up more options now for the Tennessee Titans, you talk about Tampa Bay and the NFC South, I'm going to talk about Tennessee actually contending and perhaps even, I'm going to say contending to actually win the AFC South title because Tennessee also looked like a big threat for those teams down in the AFC South, Mike.
I think the South right now between Tennessee, between Tampa Bay, let's talk about it, going off the board, all this offense in the first round, Leonard Fournette to Jacksonville. Now, we've talked about Jacksonville for years now, you know, coming up. Now, Ivory, was he not – I mean, they had a nice running back last year. Let's be real. It's brutal combat that might be the problem there in Jacksonville. Micah, Leonard Fournette, what do you think about him?
Well, I don't mind it too much. I think one of the things that maybe we're going for in Jacksonville is to do kind of a one-two punch because, I mean, Yeldon's not a bad running back. But if you look at what he does versus Leonard Fournette, I would say Leonard Fournette would be the power. Kind of like remember the Giants had Thunder and Lightning with Brandon Jacobs and, Lord, the other name is leaving me right now. It was Jacobs and, gosh, I hate when that happens. But, you know, they had the Thunder, they had Earth, Wind, and Fire. That's how they had. They had Earth, Wind, and Fire. They had a three running back by committee in the New York Giants when they were going on their Super Bowl run.
Uh-huh.
I think what the Jacksonville Jaguars are trying to do is make sure that – yeah, exactly. So I think what they're just trying to do is just trying to make sure they just have a back who can run it up there, be the power guy, and then have a change of pace back if T.J. Yeldon. That way it kind of split those carries up, give some good fresher legs in there when they may need to make a play because T.J. Yeldon is more versatile than Leonard Fournette is. Leonard Fournette's not necessarily a guy who can yes, Earth, Wind, and Fire, Vaughn, that's what they call them. Gosh, look it up. Learn your history. Get a haircut. Gosh, study it. Study this stuff. But anyway.
Vaughn, don't take that. He told you get a haircut. Don't take that. Tell him it's the summertime. Tell him you're going dreads.
But all seriousness. But yeah, that's why I think about it. And I thought it was kind of funny that the first part of his last name is spelled the number 4, and he went at number 4. I always thought that was interesting. Little symbolism there. But that's probably the reason why they're doing it. It's just to give some more help because he can't block. He doesn't block. He doesn't pass block. I mean, when's the last time you heard of LSU passing the ball? So passing the ball readily anyway. So pass blocking is out. Unless he learns how to do it at this level. Splitting out his wide receiver is out. So the only way they can really use him is as I'm going up the hole. Maybe the hole's there. If it's not, I guess I'll just get stopped because he doesn't really create his own holes either. So, you know, it's not like a little, it's just that's what his skill set is. His skill set is, okay, this is a big hole. Okay, I can go through it and I can do something. I can knock some guys over. I can break some tackles. But outside of that, it's pretty much north-south and that's it. That's what he is. That's what he brings to the table. So when T.J. Yeldon gets in there, when he's in there, then he can provide the change of pace. So I think it's just a matter of just having a running back that can do something different than what they have to bring something different to the table. Don't rely on him on pass blocking, though. Please don't. That's where I am. That's where it is, Mike.
347-637-3859. As you look up and down this first round, let's go into round two, which starts tonight and about an hour and a half from now. Green Bay has the 33rd pick, followed by Seattle, Jacksonville, Chicago, the L.A. Rams, the L.A. Chargers, and your Jets, including my Eagles, picking 11 tonight. Micah, your Colts are in here and they are almost at the – no, they don't even have a second-round pick tonight at all, Micah. Let's start with your Colts. And before we start with your Colts, let's go back to the hometown Redskins pick. As the Redskins, they did pick in round one, the player that they needed to me to come off the board. Everybody kept saying offense, offense, offense. They needed to shore up that defensive line, moving up. And that's the pick I was talking about the Eagles could have got, I thought. They could have took Jonathan Allen, I thought, from Alabama, overtaking Derek Barnett. What do you think about the Redskins pick of getting Allen, Micah?
Well, you know, they, people were saying that Allen has, you know, that he had his issues and things like that. But let me tell you, regardless of what kind of injuries he may present, when people always say that game tape don't lie, was he not? I understand that they lost. They understand they lost the championship to one of Deshaun Watson, who will be the best quarterback in the rookie class, out of this class anyway. But on that defense, that historical defense, college defense for that year, he was a major player in that defense. So,
yes, he was.
He was a major player in that defense. So his production, I believe, far outweighs the questions you may have about injuries. And everyone's going to have injuries. And heck, even quote-unquote healthy football players are playing banged up most of the season anyway. So I don't think it's going to get in the way. I know the Redskins were plagued by injuries, especially on the defensive side last year. But I think with as Waller would say, we talk about them firing Joe Barry and then hiring, and I told him hiring Joe Barry light. because it's the same guy, only it's just a different name. At the very least that they can do, because if Greg Minuski is kind of slow at defense, then the best we can at least do is give him some actual talent to work with, so that way if his defensive philosophy stinks, they can at least make up for it in talent. So I'm fine with them getting that, because pass rushing, we need someone outside of Ryan Kerrigan that can get a high motor that can actually get to the quarterback. That's why I wasn't really sold on Myles Garrett, because, you know, the people want to say that what Julius Peppers was saying, that you take plays off. No, there's actually film where you see Myles Garrett taking plays off. The dude likes dinosaurs. He's a paleontologist. I'm just saying, I don't think he's going to play football for that long. I mean, he's got his check. He's going to be fine. He's going to get a paleontology thing. He's going to go do a doctorate and go find Jurassic Park or something. I think that's where his mind's at. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But I don't see Jonathan Allen taking plays off. When I saw it, don't take plays off, but that's Nick Saban, too. And they explain the SEC where they actually like playing defense. You know, actual defense. You know, not guys who transfer from the Big 12 to the SEC who are like, defense is an option. Defense is an option. You don't really have to play hard at it. I'm sorry. I'm taking shots at conferences. That suck. But no, I think the Redskins made a very, very good choice. And as long as they give Minuski some talent to work with his horrible scheme, his eye scheme, then I think they're going to be fine. And I think they need to do some more on the defensive end, because I think with Kirk Cousins going into this year, was probably going to be his last year. That dude been disrespected, man. He's been disrespected to the highest order.
I disagree with that. Kirk Cousins being a franchise quarterback tag for two straight years, give him $45 million. That's not being disrespected. It's being highly, handsomely, richly paid, in my opinion. But
actual contract.
Well, who needs a contract? He's got $45 million.
Contract shows for football players, especially quarterback.
Overrated. Yeah. He's made more in 2 years than he did his whole previous four. Let's bring Wally in here as we talk about the Redskins pick, bringing in Jonathan Allen. Wally, Jonathan Allen, picked from Alabama, make me mad because I thought the Eagles would have took him and not they took Derek Barnett. Your take on this wonderful defensive lineman from Alabama coming to the Redskins?
Obviously, the Redskins got a guy who was rated top five, and he dropped to 17. The guy that I just think if he hit the red flag on him is the cartilage injury within the shoulder. But I don't think you can bank on injury, especially again a guy who slipped to the 17th pick. That's a top five pick. You got to take him. He's a guy that serves a definite need. They need to get stronger up front. They got a guy that could be a Pro Bowl for years to come, who could play inside and outside. I mean, inside in terms of the 3-4 could be the nose tackle as a rusher, and you can take him outside the defensive end in the 3-4, then an outside linebacker with a defensive end in the 3-4. So he's a guy to me that does so much. Again, I think this team does need to fix up some positions within the defense in the front seven, in my opinion, more. inside linebacker. But that's, I think they can kind of find a guy within the second, third round if they really want to. But again, I'm happy with the pick. I'm very happy with the selection. I think the Redskins have finally drafted a need rather than the best player available.
Well, they pick 17th again tonight. Who do you think they take with this second round pick at number 49?
It could be anybody. I mean, the reports are it could be a running back. I would love for him to get Cunningham out of Vanderbilt, a guy who's a tackling machine. I think that's a guy that would definitely fill a need to put him in inside linebacker, pair him up with Zach Brown, a guy they signed who played for the Buffalo Bills last year and it was up in the league in tackles. So if they can get a Cunningham, I think they definitely fill a need and they solidify the defense.
Let me ask you this, as the college football guy you have become that I've noticed over the last 2 years, why is Kevin King, the defensive back from Washington, still on the board?
I think that certain people got valued more. I think the quarterbacks, you got three quarterbacks that got drafted in the first round that really shouldn't have been. That's one. And you push back some good college football players, Kevin King.
So you're not a fan of Justin Watson's cousin, Deshaun Watson, JK in there, by the way.
I like Watson. I think Watson should have been the first quarterback drafted.
Agreed.
I don't think this draft class is strong. I mean, I wouldn't have drafted Watson or any of these quarterbacks over some people who haven't drafted yet. Like Cook should have been drafted before Deshaun Watson. My opinion, that's what I'm saying. Like, you got a lot of good players who are in the second round or barely made the first round. So in my opinion, I just think that with some of these players that some of these individuals who got reached, who got drafted before, say a King, say a Jordan, I mean, excuse me, say a Lewis out of Michigan, these are good, mm-hmm. These are good quality players that you could have gotten the first round. And arguably, and even to be honest with you, some people are so fixated on measurables. In terms of like combine work and whatnot, the kid from USC,
Marcus May, still there. Are you talking about Juju Smith? Because personally, I would not take
not
a USC
Smith.
Receiver ever in a draft.
No, I'm talking about the cornerback, the cornerback who got drafted out of USC. Who I forgot who drafted. I want to say the Saints drafted him. I could be wrong. I want
to
say the Saints.
Let me go to the first round. USC, right? You're talking about Jackson. Jackson went to Tennessee.
Tennessee. Thank you. I just feel like you got, like, I think the kid King is better than him. I think that, like I said, Lewis, who, like, it's funny, like, Peppers, who I love Peppers. I think Peppers.
I know you
better.
Do, and he's going through a factory of sadness.
Yeah.
And there's.
Yeah, I love their draft.
I think their draft is overrated.
Well, I love their draft. I'm not going to talk about it, but I love their draft. But you have Lewis, who is the better defensive player for Michigan, and he didn't get to even taste the first round. It'll probably be a second round pick. But again, I mean, I'm with you, Mike. I just think that certain players got pushed out of the first round because some people were reaching for others.
Well, I'm hoping Devin Cook falls to the Eagles at number 11 tonight at running back. I don't really want a running back. I would take either – I'm being honest here, guys. I would rather take King from Washington. I would take May from Florida, who I'm surprised was still there, honestly, in the first round. There was a whole slew of offensive players went in the first round today. You said, your boy Lewis and the other corner from Washington, so like there, Bubba Baker. I would take any one of those four guys and be happy tonight. I was not happy with the Eagles pick at 14 at taking Derek Barnett. Tell me something about him that I don't know. Am I missing? He's a beast. Okay.
Yeah, he's a beast. And you gotta look at it like he's a defensive end. Like he's not. He's a real defensive. He's a sack man. He's a guy who.
The Eagles have none. That's what the Eagles lack. That we have great tackles.
Yeah.
Even though we lost Benny Logan.
Cox.
Sorry, that hurts my feelings.
Yeah, and Cox.
But Fletcher Cox is still there, right?
And this is the thing. I was telling Jay Chris off air. That when you pair him with Fletcher Cox, it's going to make him 10 times better. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, he was the guy the Redskins coveted. So, put it, he's going to be good. Like, he's going to be good. And he was productive in college. I think that's another thing that people have to remember. Like, he's productive in college. And you pair that with he was decent with the combine and workouts. So, he's a guy that's going to put up numbers. In the NFL, and again, he's it's not going to be hard for him to put up numbers because he's paired up with probably one of the best defensive tackles in the game of football. So I think that was a win. That was a winning situation.
347-637-3859. Somebody to call in. Before we dive into WWE payback, there is three game sixes tonight in the NBA as the Bulls, who had a commanding 2-0 lead, is now down 3-2, looking to not get eliminated by the Boston Celtics, number one seed. We have the Clippers, who is probably the worst team in LA at this point to me, going to lose to Utah tonight. And we also have the hometown Washington Wizards trying to eliminate the Atlanta Hawks tonight in the playoffs. Lock it up for me, Wally. Who wins these three game sixes tonight in the NBA?
Utah beats the Clippers.
That's sad. That's so sad.
The Celtics beat the Bulls. And I'm not going to be a homer. I'm going to be factual. Atlanta beats the Wizards. It goes 7. Atlanta beats the Wizards.
Well, you locked it up right there.
Lock it up.
Micah, who you got tonight in those 3-6?
Bye-bye, Clippers. Bye-bye, Doc Rivers. You can't have that much time.
Doc Rivers going back to Orlando, by the way.
More like he should. Atlanta is going to get closed out. I think with me not having a dog in this fight, I can be objective about it. And I've seen the Wizards like close out these guys, like actually take them to the woodshed. And I said to myself, oh, well, okay, Wally's boys got a squad. He said they did, and I didn't believe him. And then I saw the game. I was like, oh. And also, Atlanta's soft because Dwight Howard's the center. But I'm just messing. But Wizards closing them out, and they're going to the second round. I think the Wizards are going to finish them off tonight. Wizards have been doing really, really good. And I didn't realize how – I knew they were good, but, man. And lastly, is Rondo playing tonight?
We don't know. Still a game time decision. He's out. Okay. I thought I read game time decision.
He's out. Boston's winning it. Okay. Good. I didn't realize Rondo made that much of a difference, but he did. He really did. Boston's gonna win. So
well, you got with Rondo and with Wade, you got guys that get up for the playoffs. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
Vaughn totally
says he has the Bulls beating. He has the Bulls beating the Celtics. He has the I just saw it. It disappeared. Okay, he has the Jazz defeating the Clippers and the Wizards beating the Hawks tonight. I'm gonna go ahead and lock it up for you and for Micah as well. As I turn that attention and give those picks over to Hugo, who you got tonight in those 3-6 in the NBA tonight?
I'm gonna take also Atlanta. They're gonna go 7 with Washington. I also believe that Chicago will come out on top over in Chicago. Dwayne Wade. And the guy's actually pushing it to a game 7. And then, of course, I am taking Utah. Goodbye, Clippers. You're still
that's
the little team in LA.
You better lock it up.
That's such
lock
a shame.
Lock it up.
I'm going to be a homer here because the way this series, like the Spurs and Grizzlies series, is two different tales. Like Chicago dominated to me the first two games defensively and on the boards. They let Boston back into this. But from what I see without Rondo, I can't be that homer that I want to be. I think the Celtics go ahead and lock this up. I think the Washington Wizards go ahead and lock this up tonight. And I also think the Clippers will force a game 7 tonight. I'm going to go ahead and lock that up.
You better lock it
only
up.
Because
you
I still think
up.
Chris
lock
Paul
lock
is still that
lock
good of a player, and he has to dig deep to dig it out for them guys tonight. That is our picks tonight. But before I let you go, Wally, we have a big heavyweight fight tomorrow night as American Fighter Joshua tries to win a portion of the heavyweight title of the world against Klitschko. The winner will be face-to-face after the fight with friend of the program Deontay Wilder. Who will that person be that Deontay challenges for the unification fight, Wally?
Klitschko. I'm going to fight Klitschko. Hmm. That's the money fight.
That is the money fight. Right there, Wally. Well, thank you for calling in, bud. We'll see you on Monday. We're going to turn our attention to Perfect Plex Talk Radio because, people, I tell you one thing about this show. We love professional wrestling. Now let's go ahead and get into it, y'all. We'll be right back, y'all. Fox Sports Radio, 96.9 FM.
What goes around, retaliation comes around. The hunter becomes the hunted. by any means necessary. You better have eye justice in the back of your head. It's better to give attention to receive. You'll get your retribution. Eye for an eye. In one word. Payback.
You have no idea what you got involved with. You have no idea who you're messing with.
Mike,
you have no idea. Congratulations.
Y'all better tune in to Monday nights after Raw. To the only show doing a recap when it goes off. You know how Mondays go. Watching Raw first, then listening to the Perfect Plex Radio. Shout out to the CEO, my homie Mike Knox.
What up?
AKA the Stephen A. Smith, the wrestler.
Get out of here with that.
And if you ever met him, you know he knows his wrestling. Don't believe me, check out his title collection.
The King of Belts.
Haters, we don't trust him, cause we destined for greatness. Stay on the bench watching the franchise players. Shout out to Spot Face. What up, King of Me?
And we are back, y'all. Perfect Plex Talk Radio is live right here on Fox Sports Radio, 96.9 FM, part of the BDSIR Radio Network. As we are 8 years in the books, podcast wasn't even called podcasts when we came around. They were just called radio shows on the internet. But Sunday it is going down. Hopefully, I'll be up for it. I'll tell you that right here, right now. Right here, right now. There will be a post show after Payback this Sunday. Let's go for these matches relatively quick because we got about 14 minutes left in the program. Roman Reigns takes on Braun Strowman. Now, listen, people, everyone, myself included, has been head over heels with Braun Strowman, okay? Despite what happened on Monday as he lost the match to Kalisto, he did throw him off of a stage. They have kept Roman Reigns off of television. Good or bad, take it how you want to. Starting with you, Hugo, who wins this match, Roman Reigns or Braun Strowman?
I think they need to keep Braun Strowman. They need to keep Braun Strowman strong. So I'm going to go with Braun Strowman, especially since there are rumors out
there. Is he strong after losing to Kalisto?
Well, I mean, then again, he destroyed him afterwards. I mean, Roman Reigns could definitely afford to lose the match. I mean, Roman Reigns is Roman Reigns, regardless the heat or the heat or the cheers that he gets. You know, he's still going to be over. So I think Braun Strowman, if they want to make him the monster that he is, he needs to go over because he already lost once to Roman Reigns and he needs to win the rubber match. So I'm going with Roman Reigns. I mean, with Braun Strowman.
Who you got in this match, Micah?
Braun Strowman better win or else. Okay? That's all we need to know. Yes, he lost to Kalisto, but there's plenty of times where, you know, a Big Show or somebody like that has lost to a smaller guy in a weird way. Remember when Big Show got kicked off and his foot went through the table and he lost the Intercontinental Championship match because he went through the table? It happens. And they destroy the guy afterwards. It still makes him look strong. You can look strong in a loss. Roman Reigns is in John Cena X territory at the moment to where the brass does it. The brat, no matter what happens to him, that's their guy. So no matter what he does, you know, how they book him, he's still going to be their number one anyway. So right now, he's bringing the most heat as a babyface, which is weird, and he's bringing a lot of cheers as a babyface, which is correct. So he's still getting that reaction like they want him to. Braun Strowman needs to win to legitimize all the stuff they've been doing for him. He tipped over an ambulance, destroying Roman Reigns. Talk about your tears hydrate me. He killed Kalisto twice, killing people backstage. What's the point of all of this if he loses the two Spears and Roman Reigns on Sunday? It's a waste
of time. Wins and losses, I always say, don't matter. But then Vaughn, and well as you, Hugo, has told me, it's not about the wins and losses sometimes. It's about when they win or lose, right?
Exactly.
You taught me a very hard lesson with that one, Hugo, and you're right. I would like to see Roman Reigns be who Roman Reigns is going to be, but it doesn't have to be in this match. If Braun loses to Roman Reigns, it defeats and it deflates anything that people are going to believe for Braun Strowman. The same thing is going on with Brock Lesnar. You have to have somebody else be believable. Why not Braun Strowman? It doesn't matter how he wins the match. I've got to go with Braun as well. It's the right thing to do, WWE. Now, the House of Horrors match, Bray Wyatt versus Randy Orton. Now, this is the part that's kind of questioning me right here, guys. Is this or is this not, Micah, for the WWE Championship? Because I don't see nowhere where it says it's for the title.
It is for the title.
Okay.
Is for the title. And okay. Watch this. You know, you want to know something? I got to give this, Mike. Because, once again, not only naming a future pay-per-view Great Balls of Fire, what the heck is wrong with the WWE? Michael Cole talking about Great Balls of Fire put a smile on Draymond Green's face. But anyway, outside of that, why am I supposed to believe that Bray Wyatt has a chance in this match? We know he's losing because Brock ain't going to drop that title. And you're not going to have two titles on the same show. So I already know he's going to lose. So that's why there's no point in me caring about this match.
I'm not sure about that one because trades can still happen. But I got to agree with you. I got to take Orton winning this match. I know a lot of people out there are saying Bray Wyatt, but I got to be Randy Orton. Go ahead, Hugo.
This is the worst. The WWE really bottled it when it comes to this match. And I'll tell you why, man. It was originally announced for Backlash, if you guys remember that. And then we had the superstar take-up. So then they moved it over to Payback, which is a Raw pay-per-view. But Randy Orton's on SmackDown. Yes, trades can still happen. Obviously, if Chris Jericho were to beat Kevin Owens for the title this Sunday, which I'm going to say it now, Mike, because I know you're going to get to that match. It's not going to happen. But it was just bottled wrong. And now you have Randy Orton into a feud with Jinder Mahal, which, by the way, I love it. Just want to put that out.
Thank you. He stole the title, man. That was dope.
Yeah. So what is the WWE trying to prove? Yes, I understand. Like, to me, it just doesn't make sense what went on with Bray Wyatt going to Raw. I thought it was just the stupidest decision out there.
He's pissed.
And I'll be
honest, pissed by it
Bray
as well.
Wyatt,
he's pissed by it.
Bray Wyatt. I mean. I don't know. Like it was just retarded how this whole played out with Randy and Bray Wyatt.
I'm going to say this on behalf of Bray Wyatt fans out there. The WWE has wasted 2 years of his career and where he could have been – excuse me when I say this, and please, Taker fans, don't take this out of context. He could have been Undertaker-ish he has all these things. He took Undertaker's power. He had all that strange things that happened at WrestleMania, and he just loses and loses and loses and loses. I don't understand the production, the money that they put behind him, but never to have him win. Going over to Raw was dumb. Got
to
be Randy Orton winning this match.
You
mentioned that
the Miz to go over to Raw too, because now the Miz was just going to get buried. That was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Miz was everything.
SmackDown. We did.
Miz
needed SmackDown to be who the Miz had became. You're absolutely right. They saw lightning in the bottle from fans, from Smack Talk, and they ran with it, and that just completely – I don't know what they're doing. This is what happens when Vince McMahon decides to wake up and say, I want to get back involved. I love Vincent Kennedy McMahon. I think he is wrestling, in my opinion. I don't care what anybody says. But sometimes I have to agree with fans, which I don't do often. He's out of touch with what's going on in wrestling today. Let Shane, let Triple H, let Daniel Bryant run the program. Kevin Owens versus Jericho. You already said Jericho loses. Kevin Owens, the face of America, wins that match. I agree. Kevin Owens wins this match. Micah, your take.
Oh, Kevin Owens all day. I mean, yeah. They don't want Chris Jericho on SmackDown. He's going on tour. See, I hate knowing stuff because
He's already on tour. They're selling tickets right now.
This is why Chris Jericho's the man. Because he can do both. He can wrestle a full time schedule and do full time band touring and still give you quality matches, quality promos, and quality shows. And no one else does that. The only other guy who can do a lot of stuff at one time and still do wrestle full time was John Cena. And I have to say that because it's the truth. So yeah.
All right, we're all taking
hey,
Kevin Owens, the face of America in that program. We have the WWE Raw Championship, Women's Championship. Let me just intercede one thing right here. Let me go with JMO real fast. Wrestling fans, as I just said, thank you for saying some things and speaking on your behalf. This is where I got to say I don't understand you. You rip the SmackDown Women's Division constantly. Other wrestling podcasts rip SmackDown Women's Division. And I ask you the question, is Raw's Women's Division so much better? Because it isn't. They're spread out. There's not enough women wrestlers for them to be on two different programs. If anybody should be allowed to be on both programs, it should be the women's division. Don't have the women's division be separated between Raw and SmackDown. Make it all one giant division, and then you have one hell of a women's division in wrestling. Okay, because the best women's wrestler of all time, I said it, I don't give a damn what you say, Charlotte Flair has left the building, and Bayley versus Alexa Bliss, who I think is the best women's wrestler on Raw, not Sasha Banks, not Bayley, Alexa Bliss will win the women's championship this Sunday as they hot shot that title again, Hugo. Lock that ish up. My girl, Alexa Bliss, will win the Raw women's title, Hugo. Your take.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest with you. I was the number one person that actually used to go hard on Alexa Bliss. You remember?
Yes, you did. Like, yes, you did.
Go hard on Alexa Bliss.
And
we all go hard on her.
Just like Charlotte Flair, I went the same way. I was like, no, she's not ready. And now look what she has blossomed to. Like, I'll be honest with you. Part of my reason why I watch wrestling, and I told you this for the last, 6 months, is because of these women, because of the type of women that we currently have right now. And what Alexa Bliss has improved in the ring, and what she has done on SmackDown, what Charlotte Flair has done in the last, I want to tell, what is it? It's been 2 years now, right? Since it's been on the roster, Charlotte Flair, for what she went to, where she is at now. I mean, it's just absolutely fantastic. However, I have a strange feeling why Bayley is going to go over on Sunday. I hope not, because she is dull as sandpaper. That's how bad Bayley
is. That's a shame, too. But to me, it's when I said a long time ago that everybody from NXT doesn't need to come up.
I agree.
Okay,
because
Bayley was super over in NXT. She should have stayed.
Right.
I get moving up. That's the ultimate dream. That's the ultimate payday. But what's going to happen to NXT? And now look at NXT Women's Division. It's a two-woman race, just like Raw title became. Bayley was over. The fans on Raw are just not gravitating to her. I don't know why.
I just don't like Bayley. I'm going to say that. I like her NXT.
You can say you don't like Bayley all you want to, but Bayley got that butter face. And trust me, when I talk about that butter, that butter is churning and it's churning right. That butter smooth, bro. Let me tell you, she looks good in those tights. But I have to go at all y'all and say Alexa Bliss is going to go over. One of the major weaknesses of Bayley is Bayley's weakness is her promos. Bayley's decent in the ring, but she's not believable in her promos. You can tell by the way she fluctuates in her voice that she's very scripted. And Alexa Bliss, as we talked about on SmackDown, comes off so natural on the microphone.
What I said.
Actually,
it's so natural. So natural.
It's so natural. And that is what we already know, that you don't have to be the best in-ring technician if you can make me believe who you are on the microphone. And so when you can make me believe who you are on the microphone, I'm more invested in your character as things become more organic.
Why? Because hashtag wrestling. Come on,
for
me, guys, is storyline. Now, we got 2 minutes left in the program. Let's get through this real fast. I'm going to say the best two matches, the best match, in my opinion, for last. So we got the kickoff show, Izzo and Amore and Big Cass taking on Carl Anderson and Luke Gallows. Nobody cares. Moving on, we got the Hardy Boys defending the title against Sheamus and Cesaro. I'm taking the Hardy Boys. Anybody disagree? Going once.
I want Sheamus and Cesaro to win so that the Hardys can go broken. They got their gimmick. They got the gimmick.
I agree.
In, so I
approve. You know what? I'm gonna change my pick and go with you, as I do like the new way that Sheamus and Cesaro has come out. And Hugo will tell you, I'm the biggest Sheamus fan you ever met. Okay. Then we got Neville taking on Austin Aries, the rematch from WrestleMania. I'm taking Neville to still win this title. Anybody disagree?
Austin Aries in the 50-50 booking, because their division needs it. Because they need something different and something fresh to keep it going. Neville can't keep
Neville has to lose every once in a while. I'm also going
to
go with Neville. I think Neville definitely wins, especially with the whole thing with TJ Perkins. He's not going to put that out there. The title is needed, because eventually TJ Perkins is going to turn on Neville, and we'll see from there.
I like that. Last match, Seth Rollins, the King Slayer. I love it. He earned it. Give him his props. Taking on the Destroyer, Samoa Joe. I'm taking Joe in this match. Joe cannot lose his first pay-per-view match. Anybody disagree with that?
They're gonna let him lose his first pay-per-view match.
Yeah, I agree. They can let him because if
Samoa Joe's so big of a name, it's okay to let him go over at a bigger event.
Yep, I agree with Mike on that one. I'm going also with Seth Rollins.
Well, guys, there you have it. It's been a pleasure to be back on air. We'll be back Sunday after the WWE Payback pay-per-view. Listen, guys, I am happy to be here. I am here safe. I love you. Thanks, everybody who has contributed to this wonderful move. Listen, guys, do not wake up tomorrow morning and say to yourself, it's been a while, y'all, I love me some me and don't love God. Because, frankly, that's crazy. We're out of here, y'all. Fingers.